Tonight's best rendition to describe this show, a full house. Nan has brought everybody to the show, and they're in studio, and it's time for a little Nan Cohen Total Talk with your Pratt Pack on KDK. Good evening, Nan.
Good evening, Rob. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really looking forward to this show.
Yeah?
I've been anticipating it all day.
I did a lot of thinking about it since Tim Grealish agreed to come on. Having a little technical difficulty. We'll be up on live in a minute here from on socials. But I was driving today, and it dawned on me, like, you know, this is a serious show because, yeah, I got Dan McIntyre, I've got Carla Donnelly, I got Tim Grealish here in the studio with me, but the show's really broader, and the work that Tim does is just, you know, it's from his heart and his soul for what he does. I was introduced to Tim Grealish, who is an interventionist, I should say, many, many years ago. We've worked together a long time, and he taught me the ropes where, you know, you get clients, and sometimes you just got to get the right people in place. And I always talk about a team when it comes to this, but it doesn't always apply to divorce. And we're gonna weave our way into this because it does play a big role in divorce. But Tim, we've traveled, we've gone, you know, north, south, east, and west. We've gone coast to coast, working together when it comes to addictions, whether we're talking drug, alcohol, sex, gambling. We can throw food. You could talk about. Let's move in there. Addiction has no boundaries.
You said that I'm an interventionist. So what I do is I organize dysfunctional surprise parties. Hmm. Families that are having difficulty with a family member call me, and what they want is to get their family member help from drug and alcohol addiction.
You know what? We're having some trouble with that mic. Let's try it one more time. Now try it.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
There you go.
I fixed it.
It's technical difficulties here.
Thank God for Rob behind that mic. That's a beautiful thing.
You're the first that's ever said that, and I'll be grateful the rest of my life.
That's a yummy $20. Leave me alone.
You got it.
I don't give compliments for free. Yeah, as an interventionist, what I do is organize dysfunctional surprise parties. And if I show up at your house one morning with your whole family and you didn't know we were coming, just put 28 pairs of underwear in a bag because you're going to rehab. That's how that works. And people say that, boy, you must be pretty good at what you do. And what I'm really good at is talking family members into doing some things that are very uncomfortable for the families. They've usually been enabling somebody for quite some time. And, you know, this is a perfect venue for me because a lot of the clients that I deal with are threatening divorce or they're already divorced and they're trying to get back together. And their addiction problems with drugs and alcohol have prevented this for so long that sometimes there is no coming back.
And we talk about this like, you know, people should understand. We don't understand the depth of it. I mean, we can work on a divorce case. We can work on a good marriage. You know, there's sometimes these deep, dark secrets that come out. And the hard facts are, Tim actually had to prepare me for actually losing somebody because we couldn't quite fix it. It takes a lot to get to that point of getting somebody whole and healthy again. And, you know, we've had the, Tim, as we can look at things, we've had the best of the best successes, and sometimes you have the worst of the worst.
Yeah, unfortunately, in my business, you lose more than you win. Addiction is that powerful. Addiction, really, when you think about it, it's the only disease that tells you you don't have it. Yeah, I can quit anytime I want. I'll slow down. I'll drink instead of doing fentanyl. I'll do this. I'll do that. And, of course, that never works. That's why there's people like me in business.
And I'm going to weave, and I'm going to weave in, weave out of divorce because I got, you know, Dan and Carla, family law attorneys here in the studio. And we do a lot of this work, and it hits home for them because, you know, we've got stories to tell. But it is nothing that can drag something down when you're into these relationships with a spouse. You can't handle the marriage as it was, let alone, you know, your money's disappearing. You're you know, having issues with the drugs, the alcohol. You can't find somebody. I mean, how many times have we gone out and we've had to search for somebody? You know, people don't know the side of the work that we do on the other flip side of it. And it's, I get emotional when I think about it because nothing could take you to the level of, hopelessness, But there are positions. Tim, you know, it's not just putting somebody into rehab. It's just not putting somebody, you know, to have somebody to watch them. It's a lot deeper. And you seem to know how to get to that point with people, with your past, with your journey through it. You get it. I watch you. I watch you with people. And it doesn't matter if they're in their teens or in their later years. You get it.
Well, now that I know you're watching me, I'm officially nervous.
I'm always watching.
I'm watching you.
I'm watching.
Well, it's unusual because a lot of times you can get somebody to go into treatment. And, of course, that's no guarantee that they're going to get clean and sober. And people, the family members will say, boy, am I glad that's over. Over? They just scratched the surface. It's just the beginning. And the family members, and if there's any family members missing, please don't chastise me for this, but are normally as sick, if not sicker, than the addict or alcoholic themselves. And they need as much help as the addict or alcoholic to understand the disease. When I do interventions, I try to explain to family members that we're not trying to turn a bad guy good. We're trying to help a sick guy get well. This is somebody with a disease, somebody that needs some help to curtail the disease, and that's what I try and do.
But take us through the beginning journeys. I can call you and say, Tim, I need you to meet with somebody. I mean, your assessment spot on. We can talk recent, we can talk distant. Your assessment of the situation, you know, it's nothing for Tim to hear. Oh, I've been to this rehab and I've been to that rehab. Do you attend your meetings? Do you this? Do you that? I mean, your protocols that you put in place, 9 times out of 10, what I've learned from you is finding the right place for that person. And it's just like I say, it's not hiring an attorney. It's finding the right attorney for your case. These are the things that seem to pop with me all the time. Just putting somebody, oh, I'm going to drop you off at a rehab. That doesn't work.
Everybody will tell you, every drug and alcohol expert will tell you the same thing. And what they'll say is, in order to be helped, you have to really want the help. And then they'll look at me and say, well, if that's the case, well, you're kind of backing somebody into a corner. You're forcing them to go to treatment. Look, I don't care why you go to treatment. I will say, just a wild guess, 999 people out of 1,000 people are in treatment for reasons other than I really want to get help. There's an attorney. There's a judge that says you're going to go to jail. An employer's going to fire you. A woman's going to divorce a husband. A husband's going to divorce the woman and take the kids. There are all kinds of external motivators. What I hope for is you get the right treatment center so that the clinicians in there can come up with a plan to help them understand what's going on and the problems that not they themselves, but their addiction has caused. It's very easy for a family member to get mad at somebody and, it's a lot easier to let them go to treatment.
We got a lot to talk about here. I'm going to bring this up. We'll get all the contact information. I know you want to take a commercial break.
Real quick.
But we got to go deeper into this, and I want to bring you two into what you see, and we'll have Tim engage in the conversation. So we'll be right back.
All right, very interactive, Nan Cohen, Total Talk. Your Pratt Pack tonight. KDK, back in a moment. A lot of folks have a lot of things to say tonight. Very interesting edition of Nan Cohen Total Talk. So let's get back to Nan and more tonight on KDK. Nan.
So I want to hear the perspective because it's a raw subject, but I'd love to get Dan and you and Carla. I'd like to get, what do you see that Tim and I don't? You know, when you're working with clients, how does this impact your perspective?
What I see as an addiction more than the other things, to be honest with you, is gambling addiction. It's like that seems to be across the board, and it's like, and it's with divorce situations. Sometimes the one spouse is totally caught off guard; they didn't know the person was gambling, and they've gone through hundreds of thousands of dollars in gambling. But on the other side, sometimes they are well aware of it, and that was the gambling business, and they were making money off of it. And then all of a sudden, the guy's losing money, and I hate to be gender biased, but it's usually the male that's gambling more than the female. So they're like caught off guard, and it's like all of a sudden they're appalled that we lost money this year. That's how we lived. So how do you deal with gambling addiction? To me, I think that's one of the worst addictions.
From a financial standpoint, you could lose your house in one phone call. Yeah. I mean, this that I'm holding up, this cell phone, this is all you need. You can lose your house, you can lose your car, you can lose your wife, your husband. It doesn't make any difference. That's not the gambling addiction is not as prominent as the drugs and alcohol, but it's starting to catch up now because of the different
access.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say any particular.
It's access. You can do it from your phone.
You can do it from your phone.
You can do it from your work computer. Yeah. They're doing it.
You can do it while you're on a Zoom call with your business. You know, it's like it's so easy.
And we see it all over the phone records and the credit card record statements now.
So I knew you were going to bring that up because you can't keep anything a secret, right? You're going to go get it.
Unless you have a bookie. And you're doing it offline, but people don't seem to be doing that as much lately. So there's an electronic stamp for it. And, you know, I saw it recently have a huge impact in a custody case that, you know, the one of the parents had a provable gambling problem that was all over the bank statements. And the judge felt like this person needed to get help before they could become a full-time parent.
I mean, there's where you're coming into these situations. I'm going to give you one right now. I had, years ago, I had an alcohol issue in a case. And point blank, other parent didn't want them driving the children around. And so it was kind of deal it up. You got to get this solved. You know, you can get a DUI and kind of get yourself through that. But what happens when you get the second one? You know, yeah. What happens if you don't treat the problem, if you don't correct the problem?
Yeah, and I can understand the drug and the alcohol issues with custody, but gambling, I'm not so sure I agree with that. It's like, guy has a gambling problem, how does that affect custody? But I know some of our judges think it does, but it's just, I don't know. To me, that's a financial issue, it's poor judgment issue, but it's not a poor parenting issue. But
well, I think it was part and parcel with, you know, this person wasn't co-parenting, this person was very angry, and it was all wrapped up in a mental health issue that needed to be solved, and it was a symptom of, a greater problem. And so this was a parent who wouldn't even say hello to the other parent and wouldn't even, you know, interact. And they were sent to co-parenting counseling, and this parent wouldn't even look over at the other parent and acknowledge their existence. And it was manifesting itself with the gambling. And, you know, if this person could get some mental health treatment, you know, maybe everything else could get under control. And they were ordered to mental health treatment. And, you know, sometimes people don't comply with that. And they hold the keys.
Right.
You know,
addiction treatment. I don't know a treatment center these days that does not offer what they used to call dual diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Right. That's now exactly. referred to as co-occurring disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a primary substance abuse, SUD, and a secondary psychiatric problem, which could be bipolar, depression, anxiety. But you look at, just as an example, you look at an alcoholic. Somebody will call me and say, well, he's drinking a bottle of vodka every day, and he's depressed. Well, what is the most common depressant drug known to mankind? It's alcohol. Let's take the alcohol out and see if there's still depression. When Abe Twersky was still out at Gateway, he said, I don't want to medicate anybody on a psychiatric issue until 6 months after they're clean and sober. Let's see what we have then. Mm-hmm. And then the insurance company said, you know what? We're getting a lot of readmissions based on the fact that you've got undiagnosed and unmedicated mental health issues. A lot of this stuff nowadays is connected to gambling. It's a shame, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? So, you know, you talk about when you're in the throes of this, and, you know, I could, you know, pull any case that we've worked on together throughout the years, Tim, and it all came down to the lies were getting bigger and larger, and you couldn't keep up with it. It was the first lie that tripped it off to the second and the third, whereas I distinctly remember you walking into a home that you were called. You met me there, and you're like, we're done. I mean, you screamed. I mean, you screamed and rocked the house. We're done with the lying. And you literally went through the house and you swept that house. And I had two people with me. We cleaned that. We cleared that house, right? And you said, we're done. The lying's going to stop. And you got the attention of the person that you needed to. And you put forth the effort to make sure we got that person to the right place because the person was driving on the roads, right?
Going into a house like that, and as you say, sweeping it, is not unusual. That people are stunned that I can find everything.
Oh, God.
But as a recovering drug addict myself, I know where drug addicts hide stuff.
My mouth was open, but you know, I did what you told me and I was there to help, but it was some experiences that I don't really want to remember. But I do know that on the other side of that, you had such a unique situation of getting them to the point of, we're done with this lying, because you're lying. I don't believe it. You said, I don't believe a word you're going to say to me. And you were so forthright in your intuition with what you needed to do.
It was Dr. Twersky that first said, you can always tell when an addict or an alcoholic's lying. When their lips begin to move, bingo, they're lying.
People say that about attorneys too. Just say it.
Present company excluded.
You know, the one question I would have asked him, because I've done this many times in this business, did you have a prior problem with drugs or alcohol yourself? Because some of the best doing what you do have their own story. So a little bit of that background, please.
Yeah, on April 4th, just a week ago, I celebrated 38 years clean and sober.
Okay.
And thank you. That's amazing. So yes, I had a pretty significant problem. What got me into treatment was money. I was the beneficiary of a large trust fund, and I had a couple of brothers who were not going to let me access the money in that trust fund unless I went through treatment. Is anybody aware that there was a jail out at the old airport?
No.
There was a jail at the old airport. I know for a fact
jail
because from stealing little bottles of vodka on the airplane coming up from Miami. Yeah, I had a long history. I started off with alcohol, went to weed, went to pills, cocaine, and ultimately to heroin. So yeah, I've a
the full gambit.
Yeah, I played it all.
So that alone was the reason? Did you lapse at all, or did you just make a?
I'm a freak. There are not too many people who can say I went into treatment April 4th of 1987 and they're still clean today.
But you wanted to do it.
No, I didn't.
You fought it.
No, I didn't.
I wanted
to get high more than, well.
You wanted what? That money. No, I'm just kidding.
I wanted the money. I figure I'll go through treatment. My brothers will be happy with what I do, and all of a sudden, I'm back in the good graces of the trust fund, and the money starts to roll in.
Mm-hmm.
Yay for me.
So again, I'm going to take it to the place where I got to say we're blessed with the best people here in the city. You know, Tim, we've put people in places here. We put people in places in the West Coast, down in Florida. I mean, the facilities are there. Right? I know. He's giving me lots of things. You don't have to remind me. I'm good at this. I got what's going on. The facilities are all there, right?
Right.
I think people don't realize that the interventionist really does take a major role in it, just as the divorce coach does, right? Finding the right people to put in place. We come back, I'm going to talk about a story that somebody that had the gambling and the alcohol and what we did with it. So let's take a break.
Take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Much more still to come. Nan Cohen, Total Talk continues with your Pratt Pack until 8 o'clock tonight on KDKA. All right. Nan and her trio of guests continue. Nan Cohen, Total Talk on KDKA.
So I should tell everybody in the studio with me, I'm Nan Cohen, of course, the divorce reality expert. You can find me at 412-996-3346. I'm always out to help you in any way, shape, or form. And you know what? Working with just as many, saving these marriages and getting these kinks out and dealing with these problems, whether it's gambling, whether it's sex and porno addictions, and they come up a lot in those marriages. And then Rob's just sitting there staring at me.
He just slid back in that chair and looked at me. You promoted this Saturday, and I'm shocked it took you 30 minutes to bring up that topic.
I had a look at you, you know. So, you know, when we talk about it, you know, I've got the people in place. I've always said I'm only as good as I am. It's because I have the supporting cast. And I work with the best of the best that's available. You just got to reach out. You got to make the call. And you can always hop on my website, divorcerealityexpert.com. I've got Tim Grealish, who is an interventionist. I want to say extraordinaire because, you know, your heart... I'm throwing them. And the compliments come because I've worked side by side with you. I call you. You're there. The stuff that we navigate is tough. But you know what? when we got that client, we can take them to that finish line and we get them there, it's worth it in the end. It's a struggle at times and it's frustrating, but you don't give up on them. And that's what's key. Carla Donnelly, I want to tell everybody you're with the firm of Petra Gallo. Dan McIntyre, you're with your private firm, Dan McIntyre Law. So you guys, I always bring you in because I always like to get the legal perspective and what you see and how you can implicate and what you do. Because people just think you're just attorneys. You're just simply attorneys. They don't really know what you go through. They don't know. These are cases for you. These are living, breathing people. And these things happen. You know, I had a case where a client, you know, he lost his job. Unfortunately, he lost his job at a wrong age. No one's going to hire you at 65 doing what he was doing before. Ends up in the parking lot, taking the van every day, pretending to go to work. It was that lie. Pretending to go to work. Ends up parked down in by the casino and was filling out, sitting in the van, applications. But he thought that he could just spend the money and go in there and get a quick hit. It was going to work for him. And the moral of the story came with the truth that came out when the wife was finally, I mean, there was no more money left. He had run through everything. And I'll never forget, the wife looked at him, looked at me, and all she said was, "Why didn't you just tell me?" He was so embarrassed and lost it all. There's no coming back from that. And she just, "Why didn't you just tell me?" And it always reminds me of you. Just stop the lying. Because I'm not going to listen anymore and they're not going to work. So it's your microphone now. I'm going to shut up. I want you to get down. I want you to talk to people. And I want you to have them relate to you the way we see you and with what you do.
Yeah. Anybody that thinks they're out there on an island all alone with an addiction issue is blind. There are so many people with addiction issues. And I'm not saying you should all stick together. I'm saying you should separate. When somebody goes through treatment, what we advise them to do is to change their playmates, playthings, and playgrounds. So when you get out of treatment, if you go back into a bar, but I'm not going to drink, I'm going to play darts. I'm in the dart league, okay? I'm in the bowling machine league. Uh-uh. You know, I'm going to have a Pepsi. Well, how many Pepsis are you going to have before you say, you know what, I'm going to have a light beer? It's like doing heroin light. There's no, what do you mean light? It's alcohol. And that's what happens. They just slide back in. family members, I encourage them to go to Al-Anon or Nar-Anon. There are 12-step fellowships that encourage family members to not enable their drug addicts and alcoholics anymore. And it certainly works to a certain extent, but the bottom line here is, if I want to drink and get high, I'm going to drink and get high. Get out of my way. And after an intervention, that's when the lies do stop, because they'll look at me and say, "I don't care what the hell you say, I'm not going to go to a meeting."
But I'm going to tell you that when they have to get a court order because you can't drive your kids, you can't show up at the public places because of your behavior, because they've got to protect those kids, they got to protect the other family members. That's just plain stinks. It's awful. Who are you hurting? Yourself or the kids?
I can't tell you how many times I've talked to, and it seems like, and I don't want to be gender specific, but wives will say, I can't leave the house at night because I'm leaving my husband there with a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And I know he's going to drink. And is he going to fall down the stairs and knock himself out? Is he going to turn the gas stove on and leave it on and pass out and burn the damn house down? This is what happens. This is real stuff.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And that's why we're touching on it. But, you know, Carla, when you get orders, you know, tell the audience out there, this is the real world. They're watching. These are lives at stake. You can't screw it up. And it's not just, you don't think you've asked your client? Are you attending your meetings?
Yeah, and the clients can sometimes lie to us.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
There's the reality.
And it's tricky because our role, we're hired to be an advocate for our clients. But what do you do when your client is actively in addiction and they're drinking or using, and you have to look at, what is my duty to these children? You know, I can't sugarcoat this. I have to, you know, walk that fine line of being the advocate for my client, but also protecting those children. And it's not always an easy line, because sometimes you jeopardize your relationship with your own client. But, you know, in my mind, I got to protect kids. And so it doesn't matter if you're my client or you're, you know, the person on the other side of the case. You know, we have to make sure that we're trying to keep people safe.
As attorneys, do you have duty to warn? Which we do. In other words, if there's a dangerous situation with the kids, even though you may have some agreement of anonymity with your clients, do you have a duty to warn, to call somebody like CYS?
I don't think we have a duty to do that, but...
We're not mandatory reporters.
We're not okay. mandatory reporters. Unless we're, but
yeah, that's what I...
But
yeah.
What's interesting is I got to tell you, Tim, it always comes out. The truth always rises.
Well,
the truth comes out in cases, you know, and we can look and we can laugh and say, oh, I'm not going to get involved. These are your family members.
Allegheny County has a good program for addiction. We have an impact program, they call it. And if you get a court order, your client has to go there. And the woman in charge is Barbara Hill, and she will review everything, medical records, whatever. She'll have random drug and alcohol testing, and your client has to comply or else he's losing custody.
There you have it. We're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dig deep, because I still got some stuff and I haven't gotten it out of you yet, but I will on that next segment.
This guy's doing a great job tonight. He will be back and on my show, if not your show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think so.
He's prime real estate.
All right.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. All right. Back to Nan Cohen and Total Talk tonight on KDK.
My addiction.
That's right.
I don't listen to him.
She takes over.
I don't listen. What time did you say? Oh yeah, I forgot.
I didn't say anything.
All right. All I know is I had a look at you, and I talked about sex and porn, and you just gave me that eyeball up in the air.
Takes one to know one.
Oh.
If you want, we'll. How about this? We'll all go out and leave you two alone in here. Is that what you're looking for?
Not being able to stay married is my other addiction. So please, do not do that.
Not listening to who tells
well,
who.
Yeah, we're here for your addiction today, Rob.
Thank you, sir.
We all love you, Rob.
I'm ready. Get me out of here. I got 28 pairs of underwear in the car.
Clean,
and I can guarantee
all
you.
Clean.
I can guarantee you, we can unlock the car and go see those after the show. But with you know, I loved Carla's comment. I could just sit here and talk to Tim for hours, like hours. And you know, we talk about this, but I want to get to the serious side. Back to you again. I mean, I've traveled with you, and I've journeyed these years, and I have seen really situations where they're never going to be fixed because the person doesn't want it to be fixed. But I've also been on the side of the hard facts is death, and you just don't forget it. I mean, I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't been with me to journey through that, because that just to me was so wasteless. It's just, you know, why did that have to happen?
Let me give you an idea based on some outcome studies that I did myself on my own business. What I found out was, out of all the clients I do an intervention on, 96, maybe 97% of them actually go into treatment. I very rarely lose on an intervention. The problem is on the other end. On the other end, coming out, only 33% of them stay clean and sober for at least 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in spite of going to treatment, you've got two-thirds of the people that go through treatment that usually are high or drunk within the first 90 days that they are discharged. So...
I also want to bring up, we've got Tim's facilities. He knows them intimately. I'm telling you, one of the cases that we worked on, I literally called you and I said, here's what we got going on. 2 seconds, I'll call you back. You were like on the phone with the director, getting the answers, feedback to me, the family. You got it instantaneously. This is how he works. And everybody's going, oh, well, who can afford that? Who can this? You can't afford not to make the call. That's my line. In that situation that you, your family member, somebody you know, you can't afford not to make the call. And at this time, I'd love for you to give your information out.
All right.
How do they find you? Besides
just
contacting me.
Start turning
me.
Rocks over. And yeah, I'm on my website is teginterventions.com. My office landline, and yeah, okay, I'm old, I have a landline, but I have bad reception where I am. My office landline is 724-941-5336, and my cell phone is 724-413-9709. And I'll tell you, this New Year's, I made a resolution that I was not going to take any calls before 8 a.m., and I wasn't going to take any calls after 8 p.m. And I broke my resolution the very first day and every day since then. Addiction doesn't sleep. Addiction doesn't take days off. And let me tell you something, and just so you're aware, people respond to me because they know I kind of represent a dollar sign to these treatment centers. They know that I have a lot of business and I do a lot of private insurance and cash pay for rehabs. So they go out of their way to help me out.
And they should, because you know these facilities. You know who needs to go where. And sometimes they're here and sometimes they're not. And sometimes you've dried out the other places. I don't want to hear I've been there, been this, been that. We had a case where we had somebody that was in 4-5 different places and you scored the right one.
We tell patients to keep coming back, but I told that guy, when we say keep coming back, we didn't mean to detox. We meant to go to meetings, go to AA, go to NA. That's the keep coming back we're talking about.
No, the case was the facilities were the problem. Weren't at the right time at the right place, and you nailed it on the last one. And I'm here to say, clean, sober, we're 2.5 years. Where it was completely, yeah.
That's beautiful.
And you know it.
I love a success story.
So those are the ones you didn't give up on. So we find the successes.
Man, I don't give up on any of them.
100%. I know that. I live with it. I know who to call. And you can always reach out to me and I can get you in contact with Tim, with Carla, with Dan McIntyre. So I'm more interested in any final questions you have for Tim from your perspectives.
Me? No.
Well, I was asking Tim when we were offline about these programs like SoberLink that we use. They are, for those who don't know, it's a private company that you can hire and they will send you a device that has facial recognition that you blow into and it will detect your alcohol level. I don't know that it works for narcotics. And we have used it. We've had court orders where somebody's ordered to use it and it checks them multiple times a day, and especially during the times that they have the children, and then it sends the results via email to whoever it's programmed to do. So I have clients where I get an email, other side gets an email, maybe the other parent gets an email so that they know even when they can't contact the attorneys, they need to go over and get their kids. So it can be an effective tool on both ends. It gives one parent some assurance that, you know, the other parent's not drinking, and it gives the parent who's drinking the opportunity to have their children and to prove that they are sober, which I think is important to people when they actually are sober, to prove that they're sober, because the other person's lost so much confidence that they don't believe them even when they are sober.
Yeah, but I'm sure you're familiar with the IID, the Ignition Interlocking Device,
yes.
IID.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I've been in a parking lot and somebody says, hey, will you come over and blow in my car?
Yeah,
you know,
really.
What? That's going to happen when donkeys fly out of my butt. No, I'm not going to blow in your breathalyzer. So, there's ways to beat this stuff. And, I was involved with the Allegheny County Drug Court when they first came out and went down on a couple of calls. And there was a guy in McKeesport that they were putting a detection device on his leg, and he says, you mind if you put it over my sock because I have a skin condition? And they did. Well, it turns out this guy was getting drunk every day for 2 months. He had a prosthetic leg, and he would take his leg off and hop down to the bar and then hop back, and nobody knew until they found out what he was. They found him in the bar. It was the crazy stuff like that happens every day in this business.
But again, you know what? Who are you playing with? It's your life. You know, what's the gamble? You're not going to win it.
The gamble is this. I'm different than that guy. I'm not going to die. I know exactly the guy that I'm buying fentanyl from, he had a chemistry class in high school. He knows what he's doing. I'm not going to die from that. If you're dying from that, you're stupid. You're an idiot. You're this, you're that. And then these are the people whose funerals we end up attending.
Listen, we can talk about it, but when it gets you and it gets to you, because, you know, we work with, these are living, breathing, these are families, these are individuals, these are kids, these are adults. It destroys. And I just think that people need to know there are people out there that will step in. And it's not just your, like I said, from the teens. We're talking about teen programs coming up that are becoming more popular. We've got so many discussions, and that was just another invite to make sure I say it on air that we're going to have him back in the studio with us. There's so many individual pieces to conquer with this. And, you know, I always say the true testament, and I know Carla and Dan will probably second me on this, it's all about the reality. This isn't stuff we're making up. We live it, we breathe it, we see it. And these divorces that get into this, and you know as well as I do, you can put those devices in your car. You're the one that's going to say, I'm not going to breathe in it. But you got some family member say, I got to go. I got to get out there. Go ahead, puff in it and let me go. You know, it all has to stop, because the destruction of what it's doing to all of you, there's options. And I can't thank you enough for stepping up, stepping in, and coming in. And for how many shows have we done over how many years, we've never gotten this intimate with the problem, but the problem's rampant. Mm-hmm. And it's just my way of saying we can get this done when we work together.
Yeah, know this, as attorneys, I tell clients, particularly a family member, like a wife, okay, your husband's agreed to go to treatment. Let's just hold on a second, okay? Don't leave a minute before the miracle happens. Who knows? This guy gets sober and starts going to meetings, and you know, you may get your original husband back. You may fall more in love with this guy once he gets sober, but you've got to give it a chance. Just don't do anything now. Hold off. You guys hold him off some, don't you?
Mm-hmm. All right. We got to wrap it up here. Tim, I can always get in contact with you. Thank you for coming in. Divorce Reality Expert. Yes, that's where you need to go. Hit the website up, divorcerealityexpert.com. You can find me at 412-996-3346. We will be in the parking lot making sure you have those underwear in the car.
All right. News coming up next with Paul.